Our scripture reading this morning is going to come from Philippians 3:13 through 14. Philippians 3:13 through 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Yes, O Lord, look into thee, yes, look into thee. After a while in heaven's bright, where there is neither sin nor night, I shall behold thee face to face, Jesus my own. Then with the loved ones gone before, I shall with rapture more praise thee forever near the bright, beautiful throne. I'm constantly looking to thee, trusting thy wonderful grace. I am as happy as a true soldier can be, yes, ever can be, nearing Savior my own. Beautiful heavenly place, trusting thy love by press alone, look into thee, yes, look into thee.
Psalm chapter 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Amen. May be seated. Beyond the past. Beyond the past is today's lesson title on today. You know, listen to the news today, listen to the news this week, this month, this year is truly depressing. The news is truly depressing. There are just a lot of bad things happening in our world right now, even as we speak. A lot of bad things is happening. But we're here. We are here. As the people of God, we are here and we are running against the grain of the world. We are here living countercultural to all of it. We as a people of God, we are here and we are looking forward with hopeful expectations because we know very well what is in our past. And we also know that what is in our future is something far better than wishing the new year could somehow keep us happy. We say Happy New Year all the time, wishing that the new year would keep us happy. That this new year will somehow put an end to a world that seems to always be spiraling out of control. Now, don't misunderstand me. My hope is that you will all have a happy new year. Listen to me. Just as happy as it was last year. My only hope, though, is that those greens and those cabbage, that those black-eyed peas and all those things that you cook are going to work for you in the coming year that they didn't work for you last year. And that those black-eyed peas and cabbages and pigtails and all those things you cook might turn today into a better tomorrow. But in the meantime, we should all have the same resolve as Paul, as he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, "For I know whom I have believed in." Amen. "And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day." You see, we're looking for a day. New Year is a wonderful thing to look forward to, but every day God gives us is brand new. Amen? Amen. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I've resolved in my mind, my resolution to him until that day, until that day. Good morning. I'm glad that you're with us this morning. I'm glad that you can join us as we break the bread of life. And I'm glad that those who are here and that are present are doing just as well as they possibly can do. And those that are in our virtual world as well, I welcome you as well as the visitors to this congregation as we break the bread of life and listen to the things that God has for us on this day. Now, shortly, I'm going to open my Bible to Philippians chapter 3. And my invitation is for you to join me there in Philippians chapter 3 as we look at these verses for the day's lesson. Beyond the past. Beyond the past. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul talks about some things that are present in his life and some things that are past. And in his anticipation for the future, he speaks of those things as well. Today, I want to look at this familiar passage with open eyes. I want to look at this familiar passage with open ears and with an open heart as we wait for the day of God's return. What a happy day that's going to be. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12 and following, reading up to verse number 14. Philippians chapter 3, we start out in verse number 12. Listen to God. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth to those things which are ahead of me, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing towards the goal, Paul says. I'm pressing for that prize of that upward call that is only found in Christ Jesus. You know, wouldn't it be a sad state of affairs to believe that somehow you've accomplished everything there is for you to achieve in this life? And that you don't have anything else to do, that you can't learn anything else, you can't go anywhere else, you can't do anything else because you've achieved everything there is to achieve. What a sad state of affairs that would be. But Paul says that's not the case. There was a lot he had already accomplished, and yet he said there's still something ahead for me to look forward to. You know, people who don't have anything to look forward to is just, they might as well just be buried. Amen. Because they have no hope of a future ahead. But Paul said that there is something, even though I've accomplished all those things in my life, yet there is still something ahead of me. First of all, we need to understand is that the past is the past. And we have to move beyond that which has already passed in our lives. We have got to understand the past is the past. We've got to move beyond that. Verse 13 says, I do not count myself to have apprehended it yet. I'm not there yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me. Paul has left the past in the past. And one thing we have to understand that it's difficult to do that. It's very hard to leave the past in the past. In fact, whether your past is bad or whether it's good, it's very hard to let go of that. Deal with the present and live for the future. We hold on to things far, far too long. You see, we are all a product of our past. And if you're honest with yourself, some folks try to cover up their past by forgetting where they come from. Let's be honest, some folks are just like that. You want to just forget where they come from. Not with any good intentions at all, but they want to be, amen. You know what I'm saying? They want to be snooty, so they want to forget that they have baby pictures people can look at. But our past molds us and shapes us into the way of the world right now. Our past molds us and shapes us into who we are today, even right now. And that past includes the way our parents raised us. That past includes the way our relatives treated us and spoke to us, that past includes our environment that we grew up in. It includes the experiences and all the difficulties that we have had. All of us, every last one of us, have a past. You know, it's been said that every sinner has a future and every saint has a past. Amen? Every sinner that ever lived has a future and will have a future if he so decides to accept that. And every saint has a past. Every saint has brought some baggage inside of those doors in the church every Sunday morning. Every saint doesn't exclude any one of us has a past. What you have to decide is which experiences in your past will benefit you in your future and what you need to leave behind, what you need to get beyond in the past. You see, Paul had to get past some major worldly accomplishments in his life, accomplishments that he could be very proud of, things that people just shouldn't ordinarily forget. He says in Philippians 4:3-5, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I am more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, I am a Pharisee. All of those things in his pedigree made him a bright and shining star, a rising star in the land of Judaism. I'm more than sure Paul was the pride and joy of all his family. Look at my son. Look at who he is. And yet Paul says he has to let all of that go. He's got to let it go. He's got to live for today and get beyond the past. I'm not familiar, y'all, with LSU football, but Bo Pelini, defensive coach, was fired by LSU. Just last year, he was a champion defensive coach. Do you think he forgot how to coach? I doubt it. But the issue is that he's not having the same success right now. You have to go beyond what you did in the past. Even those good things, you've got to get beyond them. Yes, even though they are part of making you who you are, you have to live for today. Because the defense of last year didn't do anything for his defense this year. You have to let him go. We got to get beyond the past and focus on our future. We can't continue to live in the past. Too many people want to hold on to it. And some folks, they forget where they come from. Some churches, let's be honest, some churches of Christ live in the past. That's all they have. They think they're living for God, but all they have is the past. They just can't seem to get beyond their so-called glory days. Glory days that are filled with disillusion and just deceitfulness. Glory days that are filled with empty expectations of a future filled with what they call glorifying God. Why is it that way? Because instead of addressing spiritual issues as they arise, they deal with worldly issues all the time. Let's do this, let's do that. Never anything that's spiritual, never growing, never going on to see what God has in store for them. It's always those physical things. And they never grow spiritually because they continually talk about those things. You remember that good food I cooked at the fellowship? What about the baptisms that we have? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about learning in Bible study. Let's talk about prayer. Let's talk about communion and fellowship with God. We had some wonderful days in the past. Can you account for them spiritually? What do those days say for you in a spiritual sense? We're living in the past, but we're living in a past that's filled with carnal nature. All fleshly when it comes to the church. Nothing that gives any credence to our service to God. We got to get beyond the past. Get beyond it. We've got to address those spiritual issues as they arise and stop sweeping them under the rug. We swept under the rug so much that we've forgotten a lot of them. Forgotten them. Never addressed them. And people walk into church this Sunday and the next Sunday and the Sunday after next, still filled with disillusionment. Still hurting because there's no one to pay attention to their spirit, to their soul, and give them the food that God provides for them. It's all about carnal stuff. Girl, what are we going to do this week? Man, you know all the brothers got to get together and go to this football game. Let's get together and pray. There are too many things that's happening in this world right now, and we're stuck in the past thinking that we're going to solve them, not looking to the future where God is. Let's get together and pray. Some churches just can't seem to get past those glory days, whatever that is. Whatever it is, you know what I'm talking about. There were also some things in the past that Paul would have liked to have forgotten as well. But the time comes when there's no more room under the rug at all. And all those past experiences come home to roost. We swept under the rug so much, there's nothing else to put under the rug. There's no room for it to fit. Verse number 6 says, concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Do you think that Paul wanted to forget that? Concerning zeal, do you think he wanted to put that behind him? I'm persecuting the church. Acts chapter 9, verses 13 through 14 says these words. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. And you want me to go? Amen. Lord, I heard about this man. Do you think that Paul wanted to put that behind him? Can you imagine Paul standing and preaching to an audience that has family members that he personally persecuted and even had them killed? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine trying to come to grips with knowing that you've killed a family member and now they're your brother or sister in Christ? Can you imagine dealing with a past of that magnitude? Can you imagine what the person that's standing beside you is thinking? Can you imagine just being Ananias? God, I know you don't want me to, I know you don't want me to go by this man. He's got a checkered past, Lord. And we already know what he's thinking about doing in the future. Lord, please don't ask me to go to this man. Let me tell you what happens to our past. Our past follows us. Just like a shadow. You ever see a child trying to step on their shadow? You ever see that? Isn't that an amazing thing? They just can't seem to step on it, but they can't get rid of it as well. Our past follows us just like a shadow everywhere we go, reminding us sometimes of the good things and reminding us sometimes of the bad things, plaguing us sometimes as we live this life, and sometimes our past inevitably holds us back. It holds us back. But Paul has said that I've forgotten the things that are behind. That doesn't mean that he has the physical and mental capacity to erase and not remember the things that he has in the past. Doesn't mean that he can highlight something, he'll delete in his mind and all go away. Doesn't mean that. He remembered and he talked about his past in verses 4, 5, and 6. But the point is that he is not going to allow the past to hold him back. And that's got to be your point as well. You cannot allow the past to hold you back. It's going to plague you sometimes. It's going to weigh heavy on your mind sometimes. It's going to remind you of the things that used to be. But dare not allow the past to hold us back from our communion and fellowship with each other and with God. Don't do it. Don't do it. We too, just like Paul, listen to me, I got a hot fact for you. Just like Paul, we are going to have to let the past be the past. Amen? We got, just let it go. Sometimes people believe that God is stuck in their past. It's not that they don't want to be forgiven. But some people believe that God won't ever get over it and understand their plight. Our children do the same thing to us, but mom, dad, you just don't understand. Let me tell you something. If you're going to get over anything in your life, you better get over the fact that God is calling us to heaven, and he's calling you and me and every last one of us. You know, the fact that we're unworthy, and just accept the call of God. Some people believe that God just won't get over it. But I want you to understand that Isaiah said that God will forgive it and he will forget it. He says in Isaiah 38, 17, surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. In your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. God can get over it. Can you get over your past? God's not dragging it in front of you all the time and spitting it back out in your face. It's you that's doing that. God didn't bring it up every time an issue arises. It's you that's bringing it up. It's you that's living in your past. And you drag God into it thinking that God won't get over it. You need to get over it. You know, sometimes you just got to look at other people. And you got to say, you know what? I forgive you. Let me say that again. We've got a whole new year coming up on us. We've lost a lot of people in 2020 to death. Lost a lot. Someone we wouldn't ever thought would be gone right now. We've had a lot of family members become sick by this pandemic. And they have recovered and their lives are not the same. Listen to what I said. Sometimes you've got to look at other people and say, I forgive you. We can't continue to live in the past. I forgive you and I'm moving on. I'm moving on beyond all that stuff. I'm moving on beyond all those things that you can say against me and all those things that you can make up about me. I'm moving on. I forgive you, and whether you want to move on or not, I'm moving on. You might be stuck in the past, but I'm certainly not going to be. You have got to refuse to be stuck in the past, and you have got to move on. Let the past just be the past. Can you do that? Let the past be the past, because yesterday ended last night. And Paul said that the best is yet to come. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. He says, I'm straining, some of the verses say. I'm straining on to what is ahead. Paul says that he understands that this is going to be a challenging thing. It's not easy to forget your past. It's not easy to leave it behind. The easiest thing about this is that it's easy to quit. It's real easy to quit. But we've got Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9 that cheers us on. It says, and let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, when the time comes, you shall reap if you do not lose heart, if you don't run away from it. You're going to reap. Just don't lose heart. You know what's a sad reality? It's a sad reality that some Christians have said, I'm probably not going to heaven anyway, so why even bother trying? You know somebody like that. You might have even thought that yourself. I'm not going to heaven anyway, so why am I even trying? Why bother trying? They won't try because of their refusal to get beyond the past. Let me tell you something about heaven. Heaven is forward thinking. And it's true. You will never get there to heaven with backwards thinking. You will never get there by anchoring your life in the past and not in Christ, God's Son and our Savior. Your life has to be anchored in Christ, for he is our future. So where are you living? How are you living? What are you speaking? How's your behavior? Is it all based on those things that are in the past? Your people say all the time, I used to be such and such. Don't make me go back to that. Don't make you go back. You're going on your own. I don't have nothing to do with that. Amen? It's all about you and sin. That's why you're going there. Not because of me. Look, there's a lot of people who want to get ahead. There's a lot of people who really want the prize. There's a lot of people who really want to go to heaven, but really don't know the actual position they're in at the present time. A lot of people don't know what position they are in at this present time. Here's an example. I heard this about 2 or 3 months ago. You may have heard it, but here it is. Listen to this. People don't really know what position they're in. This is what it says. If I ran a marathon and I passed the person in second place, what place would I be in? I know some of you answered first place. I know you did. But the correct answer is second place. Amen. Let me give it to you again. If I ran a marathon and passed the person in second place, what place would I be in? It's second place. But some of you answered, amen, be honest. Some of you answered first place because you don't know what position you're in. And you don't know what position you're in because you refuse to move beyond the past, and you will never gain the prize. You're never going to gain it because you don't realize that you're still running behind. You're not in first place. You're not in position to receive the prize because you're living in the past. You're looking forward, but you're not looking ahead enough to see that you still got to keep running. You don't see what lies ahead. But they believe that they are in a winning position. And then the service, you don't have to tell me who said first place. That's all right, I understand. You don't even have to tell me who said second. I understand that. Listen, the same thing goes for heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But are we willing to give all we have to get it? I mean, running just for the sake of running won't achieve much spiritually at all. It requires something of us. You've got to be in a position to receive the reward. You can't be in second place. You can't be living in the past and expect to receive the prize. Everybody wants to go to heaven. And then they say, you know, but Sunday is the only day that's really mine. Listen, it's not called the Lord's Day for nothing. It's not yours. And it's not second place. God gave us this day. He gave us this day to worship him in spirit and in truth, to assemble as a body of people that belong to God. But you telling me that's the only day that you have? I want to go to heaven. Listen to this one. But there are still some worldly things I have yet to do. Why? Because I'm living in the past. I think I'm still all of that. Look how beautiful I am. You know they all want me out there. I've got myself in such good shape now, I'm going to have to get the stick out for them women. I know I'm a Christian, but there's a lot of worldly things I still want to do. And God is just going to have to understand that. Because I'm living. Amen. I'm still living in the past. I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to be obsessed with it. I don't want to be one of those Jesus freaks out there. Let me tell you something. If there ever was something to be obsessed about, it's pleasing God. It's pleasing the God of heaven and earth. There was a song that was out one time, and the lyrics would say this: Lord, I want to go to heaven, but not tonight. Not tonight. I want to stay living in the past, Lord. I don't want it right now. If I was to die right now, Lord, I want to go to heaven. I want to go. But don't let me die tonight. Well, what's your future hope then? If you want to go to heaven, but you don't want to go tonight, what You're still living in the past. That's the bottom line. That's where you're at. You don't know what position you're in. You've got to get past that. We've got to get beyond the backwards thinking. We've got to get beyond our typical nature of putting God in second place and thinking that he is in first place. You know in your heart that he is not. And until you put God in first place, you will always be living in the past. We have got to get beyond the past. Get beyond that. Paul says, I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. I'm looking forward. My best days are not behind me. He's living today, and he's looking forward for tomorrow. 2021 is just around the proverbial corner, amen? And everybody's looking for the Happy New Year, but they're not looking at their lives today. Today is all we have. It's one day at a time, isn't it? Not one year at a time. It's one day. One day at a time. Paul says in verse 14 that the prize is worth the effort. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I don't have it yet. It's before me. It awaits me. And that prize is what shapes my life. That prize is what formulates my words when I speak. That prize is what allows me to behave the way I behave. That prize is what will make me have a happy new year. I don't have it yet. It's before me. It's awaiting me. The prize, that prize should be the ultimate criteria for the way we conduct our lives. With the job that I had, will that job make it difficult for me to go to heaven to receive the prize? Will the friends that I have, will those friends that I'm paddling around with make it difficult for me to go to heaven? My family, do I allow my family to get in the way of me and God? Will my family make it difficult for me to go to heaven? Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Will these past relationships draw me closer to God or not? Or will they drive a wedge between me and my God? What about the entertainment that I choose? What about that? Will it drive me farther away from God? Will it drive a wedge between me and my relationship with God? Why am I still living in the past thinking that I could do all those things that I'm too old to do now? I can't do those things anymore. My mind might tell me that. You know what I'm talking about, amen? You don't even have to be over 50. You can be over 30 and still can't do some of those things you did as a teenager. Amen? So why are you thinking that way? You've got to move past that train of thought. Got to move past it. That prize that Paul is talking about is the prize that we all want, and that prize is heaven. Listen closer to what he says in John 17:3. I know we use this scripture for something different, but I need you to hear this. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Let me read it to you again. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Can you imagine such an intimate relationship with God? Can you imagine a relationship so intimate that you know God so fully and so freely? Can you imagine that? I mean, I go back to the book of Genesis, and I can just hear Eve asking Adam, don't you miss the garden? Don't you miss that? And Adam answering, what I miss is God. Can you answer that? Can you say what I miss is God? What he says, what I miss is God, because he walked with us in the cool of the day. And we had an intimacy with God in such a way that we don't have anymore, and I miss that. In the past, we had heaven on earth, Eve. We had it, and we lost it. And we lost it all. Let me just say something to you. Intimacy with God is a good reason to get beyond the past. 1 John 3:2 says these words about the intimacy with God. Listen to what he says. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Don't you want that? Don't you want that intimacy? Don't you want to know God and allow God to get to know you? When we think of the word know in the Bible, the word know has to, it deals with intimacy. It deals with a relationship between you and God, or between you and your wife, or you and your husband. It's about knowing each other. It's an intimate relationship. For we shall see him face to face, and we shall be just like him. No wonder Jesus said in John 14, we quote it all the time, but I need you to understand what he was saying. It was about intimacy in John 14, 3. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I'm going to prepare a place so I can come and get you and bring you home with me. Bringing somebody home with you has a wonderful meaning today, doesn't it? It means something because you can't bring everybody home. Right. We've tried it, amen? And when you hit that door, you realize you can't come in this house with your pants dragging. Amen? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Because this is about intimacy. That where I am, there you may be also. You get that? You get it? You can't be living in the past and think you're going to be where God is. Again, there's an intimacy that God wants us to appreciate. And he wants us to appreciate it at this present moment. Not remember the way it was. But he wants us to live in his love right now. Right now. It seems to me that as I read this in Philippians, that Paul is saying three things here in this passage. He said, even though we live in a lot of troubled times, with faith we can live with the questions. And we can live with the questions whether I understand the answers or not, whether I understand everything or not. We can live with the questions because God knows all things. And we certainly don't. In all honesty, we've got to come to grips with the fact that we will never understand everything. It just won't. But with faith, we can live with the questions because God has all the answers. Amen. He says, with hope, we can live with all the difficulties. Man, when you look at that litany of things that he has over there in Romans chapter 8, you know we can live with all those difficulties. He says in Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. None of that is living in the past. It's a hopeful expectation of the future with God. We can live with all those difficulties because we are more than conquerors. You know, listen to the news today, this week, this month. Listen to the news all this year has been truly depressing. There's just a lot of bad things happening in our world right now. But we're here. Amen. Oh, we are here. And we're here as a people of God, running against the grain, living countercultural to all of those things that beset us. All of the sin that gets in our way, all the temptation that comes our way, we're running counter to all of that because we know what is in our past And what's in our future is something far better than a world that seems to always be spiraling out of control. There is hope of a new day dawning. The hope of a new day will prevail over all of those things. It will even help us to prevail over ourselves, to get over ourselves and move out of the past and stop living for the past and start living for God. Paul also says, with love, we can live with the unhappiness that life presents us on the daily basis. You know, we say Happy New Year, but we need to be happy every day. God wants us to be happy every day. And being filled with joy is a whole different thing, isn't it? Isn't it? Because people can make you unhappy, and you can still be filled with the joy that God has filled our hearts with. We can live with the unhappiness because life presents us with that on the daily. God wants us to be happy even in circumstances that you don't even choose at all. Here's what Paul would say. He said, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. He's not in second place. Amen. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only. He's going to give it to you and to you and to you and to you and all those that love his appearing. You're going to get it if you know what your position is. And you move beyond the past and start living for the future with God. Paul says he's looking forward to that glorious prize. He has lived his life beyond the past and in hopeful expectation of a brighter future. Oh, it's coming your way. It's coming. And I'm going to tell you, the brighter future is coming your way without pigtails and black-eyed peas and greens. It's coming without cabbage. Amen? And I'm not telling you not to cook that because it's pretty good. But our hope is in Christ. Our future is in Christ. We look forward, Abraham said in Hebrews, we look forward to a new city. We look forward to another country. We look forward to seeing Jesus Christ as he is. I know I am. I know I am. And I know you are too. Paul says he's looking forward to seeing today turn to a better tomorrow and meeting God face to face. Here's a New Year's invitation for you. An invitation that will get you way, way beyond the past. We've got the resolve to hear God's word. He says in John 6:45, it's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. I want to thank you so much for listening so well this morning and moving past all those fears that you have. Now you have to hear God's word. We've got the resolve to believe God's word. He says in John 8:24, if you believe that I'm not he, if you believe that I'm not the Christ, truly, truly, I say to you, if you believe that I'm not the Christ, you will die in your sins. You want to die. 1 John 3:23, and this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. We've got to repent of our sins. He says in Luke 13:3-5, I tell you nay, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance is a wonderful thing because a lot of people feel like they just can't say they're sorry. Well, if you don't say it now, you're going to be sorry later on. Stop living in the past. Let's have a sorrowful heart of repentance towards God. Let's know how to say I'm sorry and mean it. Because time is passing by us. People are gone. And some are going to be gone before the year even turns to 2021. Move out of the past. Repent of your sins. Let's confess Christ. Let's stop talking about all those dull things that make up nothing at all. Let's start talking about God on our jobs, in our homes, in our recreational places. Let's start talking about God. Let's confess him. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he acknowledges the Son as the Father also. 1 John 2:23. Let's acknowledge God. We've got to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. What a new day that brings to our lives, doesn't it? We arise brand spanking new out of the water grave of baptism. Know ye not that so many of us who were baptized in Jesus' death were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised from the dead. So you too will be raised to the newness of life. You're going to walk in the newness of life. That's not walking in the past. It's walking in something new, something new. You know, growing up in Gramercy, it was a wonderful thing to, I see it now, it wasn't then, but it was a wonderful thing to receive hand-me-downs. That was things that were from the past. It were beneficial. Just like then, we've got to understand that things in our past can be beneficial. We've just got to choose which one of those things we want to bring into our future with us and which things we want to leave behind. God is calling us to leave the past behind us. Let the past be the past. And let our future be lived with Christ in heaven with God. If we can help you today, respond to the invitation. Why don't you come, we stand and sing the invitation song.
Without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, and that thy bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dear rests and best for a world of lost sinners were slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged, old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it for day.
We are not a part of our worship service, which is the Lord's Supper, in which we are instructed to come together on the first day of the week in remembrance of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30, and the Bible reads, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of this bread and drink of this cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you at this time, thanking you, Father God, for this opportunity to commune with you. Father God, we just ask that you'll bless this bread that represents your son's body, and that you'll bless this cup that represents your son's shed blood. Father God, we just pray and ask that everyone that partake of this would do in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. All these prayers we ask in your darling son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're also at a part of our service, which is collection, in which we're instructed to give back this portion of what the Lord has blessed us with. You have the opportunity before service or immediately after service to place your collection in a box up front. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. I'll also be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. The Bible reads, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you at this time thanking you, Father God. Thank you for the collection that was gathered in your name. Father God, we're thankful for those who gave, Father God. We're thankful for those who had the desire to give, Father God, but not able to at this present time. Father God, we just pray and ask that these funds be used for the upkeep and the outreach of your ministries, Father God. We pray and ask that you will be with the men handling these funds, that the things they do and say will be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. All these prayers we ask in your darling son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.